I don't usually like to tell the audience how long I'm going to be up here before I start, because usually I don't want them to say, okay, well, that's way too long, and they stop listening at some point. But in the last couple of days, I've come down with, I don't know if it's allergies or a cold, but a little bit of congestion. So I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be one of the shorter sermons you'll hear from me. I'm going to let you know ahead of time that I'm probably only going to be up here for about 15 minutes. Which means Uncle Shane can probably still go out to dinner and be in bed by 8 o'clock tonight. But in all seriousness, what I'm asking for, and the reason I'm telling you that I'm only going to be up here for a short time, is I'm asking you for your undivided attention for just a few short minutes. For just a few short minutes, I'm asking you to focus in, put all thoughts out of your mind. I know it's easy while we're singing. A lot of times it's easy while we're praying. A lot of times we're focused on the Lord's Supper, focused on our Savior's death. It's easy to put worldly thoughts out of our head, but once the preacher gets up here, he gets through his intro, maybe he makes us chuckle, so we listen for that. And then, after about 5 minutes, it gets harder to pay attention. Dinner starts coming into our mind. What I've got going on starts coming into, going on after comes into my mind. So what I'm asking for is just a few minutes of your time, and then hopefully this evening what I can do is encourage you for this fight that we read about in Ephesians 6 chapter. Thank you, Charles, for reading that. If you want to look back there at Ephesians 6 chapter, we're going to read a little bit of that again. Not all of it, though. Ephesians the 6th chapter, and we'll start in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Since you became a Christian, you've heard that you've now entered a battle. That's something that's not a foreign idea to us. We're told often that we're in a battle and that we're going to be fighting from the day that we put on Christ in baptism until the day we die. And we realize that this is a spiritual battle. We just read in verse 12, again it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then we're told to put on that whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil in that day, having done all to stand. Now let me tell you, once we put on that helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, once we've shod our feet with the gospel of peace, if we've had the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and we've got that sword of spirit, there is no longer a battle that we can't win. Once we put on this full armor of God, there's no longer a battle that we can't win. But my question is, sometimes we fall, and the question is, why do we fall? Why do sometimes we feel like when we go into those battles that I'm beat down, that there's not an opportunity? We're told in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there's no temptation or no trial that's overtaken you, such as common to man. We're told there's a way of escape for anything that might come in our way. But so oftentimes we can't find that way of escape, can we? Maybe because we're not looking. Maybe because we feel like we're beaten down, we feel scared, so we can't find it. So what I want to remind you of this evening, and my main point, is you are not alone in this battle. If that number's up to date, it says there's 111 people here. So there's 110 other people here for you, ready to help you. 110 other people that when you're feeling down, you can go to for help. Now, I guess that number includes small children and babies, but you tell me, when you're sad and you hold a baby, does that not make you smile just a little bit? Doesn't that encourage you just a little bit? I can tell you obviously that it does. There's 110 other people in this building tonight that are ready to encourage you, that are ready to help you put a smile on your face if we'll just go to them. I was originally going to subtract that number, but anyone in here can encourage us. Let's look back at Exodus, the 17th chapter. We see a perfect example of the people around Moses helping him. Exodus, the 17th chapter. I ask you to turn your Bibles there, and we'll read starting in verse 8. The beginning of Exodus 17, we just hear the story. They were complaining, they didn't have any water. Moses struck the rock, and then now in verse 8 it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. We see that if Moses held that rod of God up, they were winning. They had no problems in this fight, but as soon as his arms came down, they lost, or they would begin to lose. So both Aaron and Hur supported his hands, held them up, so the Israelites could win. You've got a building full of people who are here ready to hold your arms up. When you feel like you're losing, when you feel like the battles are beating us down, there's a building here of people ready to set you down on a rock and hold your arms up so together we can win the battles. So together we can win the victories. And on the other hand of that, my question is, when's the last time you held someone's arms up? When's the last time you saw a brother hurt or a brother down, someone who looks like they just need a little bit of encouragement? Are we holding some arms up? Are we helping them through their trials? Are we helping them through whatever temptation they seem to be going through? This Exodus 17 example is perfect for all of us to look at from both standpoints as, if I need help, we have people around us who will hold our hands up, who will help us through our battles. And on the other hand, we also need to be looking at someone who will hold the hands up of a brother who is in need. So we looked at, we're not alone because we've got all the people in this building, all the Christians that we know around us ready to help us out. But the other part is we also have God. We also have God. And sometimes, and I actually would say that a lot of times, we forget about that. When we're down, we forget that if God is on our side, then we can't be conquered. Turn back with me to 37th Psalm. The 37th Psalm. And we'll start in verse 23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Let's read that part again. It says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, and he does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, and the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." You know, we just looked at when Moses' hands fell, he had two men beside him to hold them up. But then we can also see in verse 24, when we fall, God's hand is also right there to help us up. God's hand is always there if we're willing to reach out and take it. In any kind of situation that I might pass, as we mentioned 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, God's given us a way of escape. We just have to look for it. We just have to look for Him in the situation. "Though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us with our hands." Let's look at Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, and we'll read verse 14. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, we'll read verse 14. It says, "The day of prosperity be joyful, but the day of adversity consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come." I think I wrote down the wrong verse there. But we need to be remembering God. Remember God when we're down. Remember God when we're hurt. Remember God because if God is with us, as we read in Romans 8 and verse 31, no one can be against us. Nobody can be against us. It doesn't matter what our trial is. It doesn't matter what that temptation is. Whether it be a simple lie. Maybe every time sorry, every time my boss asks a question, it just becomes easier and easier to tell him just a little bit of a fib. Or sticking with the work example, maybe I'm stealing from work or stealing from friends and family. Maybe my temptation is pornography. It doesn't matter what it is, if God is with us, and if we remember God as we're down and as being tempted, then we can get out of whatever that situation is. We talked last Sunday about worry. We have nothing to worry about if God is on our side. We have nothing to worry about ever if God is with us and if we're willing to turn to Him. Go to God and trust in Him, and you will never be alone. Because not only do you have these people who are around you, more importantly, you have God who's willing to help you and will help you out of any situation. So as we close this very evening, turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. We'll read verse 14. It says, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's start at verse 12. It says, now that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I might lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal and the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, as I press forward towards that goal, I encourage each and every one of you to do the same. Forget the things that are behind. Forget the trials of the past. Press forward for that hope. Because there's not a battle that we'll face that we can't beat. Because whatever we face during this upcoming week, if we remember that not only do I have these people around me with ready to help me, more importantly, I've got God there in any situation. You know, when I'm at work, I don't necessarily have a building full of Christians around me, but I do have the avenue of prayer to go to God. I do have a way to reach God, and He will be there for me. Ladies and gentlemen, let's press forward towards that goal. Let's reach towards heaven. Let's reach towards that hope. Tonight, if maybe you've started on that path, and you turned away from God, I encourage you to get back on. Repent, whether it be in your seat or if you need the prayers of the congregation, come forward and we will pray for you. We'll assure you that we're there for you as we talked about this evening. And tonight, if you're not a part of that hope, I plead with you to become a part of it. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, I urge you to do it this very evening. Don't leave this building this evening with any kind of doubt as to where you'll spend your eternity. Don't put it off towards next week because tomorrow's not guaranteed. This next minute is not guaranteed. But right now, we can have that hope. Right now, we can put on Christ in baptism and lead down a path for hope with God on our side and with the brothers and sisters ready to help us through any situation. If we can help you in any way, please come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.